This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite dropped in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. People are fired up, understandably so. Bad loss after bad loss after bad loss. We'll do that to you. And I'm sure we'll have more on the Blazers as the week goes on because they take on Boston tomorrow night.
Ooh, what's the temperature if they lose that game?
Oof-da. I mean, it's already bad. It's hard to imagine it getting worse, but then they keep losing and it keeps getting worse. So
we say this, and I generally fall in line with this way of thinking. Neil's not going to make a move during the year. But it's going to come pretty close, right? He's going to want to make losing. At some point, you got to say maybe the shakeup is worth the juice that you get from playing pissed off and the guy's gone, so we play harder type vibe.
Yeah, it's a bad look when you got the coach come out after the game saying there's no issue, and then the player, your starting center, say there is an issue and we're not playing with fire and we're in a funk. So that's when you have that divergent messaging going on from one of the players and the coach. That's not an ideal situation. Let's get to a couple other NFL notes, shall we?
Yes.
Got a lot going on in the National Football League as we're, about 2.5 weeks away from the NFL draft coming up?
17 days.
Woo-hoo! Let's do this. How about this? What does this team want to do? This is like a snip, 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 snip situation. Jeremy Fowler reported over the weekend, friend of the show, Jeremy Fowler, that the Philadelphia Eagles are considering trading back up into the top 10 to get quarterback. So, remember, they hired the Frank Reich protege to be the head coach because they wanted him to work with Carson Wentz.
Nick Sirianni.
Then they traded Carson Wentz. Okay.
Sirianna.
They were going to find another quarterback.
Yeah.
But then Jalen Hurts was the guy. Mm-hmm. Now they might trade up in the draft to go get their guy. And Jeremy Fowler reported that if Fields is available or if Trey Lance is available, for whatever reason those guys slip towards the back end of the top 10, Philly is ready to pounce.
Yeah, if those guys get picked, which wouldn't be crazy, right? We had Matt Miller on, and he said five of the first 10 picks, and in whatever order, it could be quarterbacks.
Right.
If those guys are gone, don't be shocked if you see round 2-3 graded type guys get picked quicker. Like Kyle Trask out of Florida.
Somebody jumps on him. He's probably going to be the 9th overall pick.
Kellen Mond seems to be having some stock where people really like him as a second round prospect. There are some that think he could be better in the Dak Prescott type way. Yeah. So I wouldn't be stunned by that. I can't imagine Philly fans happy.
You again trade up and get a quarterback. Well,
but if you're not getting Fields, Wilson, Mack, or Lawrence, which I don't think you will, and I have a hard time believing you get high enough to get Trey Lance, I don't know if that pick is worth it. Don't you need to address the other huge holes within your roster, your offensive line, the defensive side of the football? Jalen Hurts will get a year to prove it. And I think you're relatively better off to do that. Even if that means getting dead last in the NFC East, I think this organization needs a reset. And they need to say, hey, we're not a great roster. We're going to suck, and that's okay, but let's build it our way, our culture, and take the Brian Flores Miami route. Nobody gave the Dolphins a chance. That dude has proven in 2 years, when you're a good coach, even when your roster sucks, you can surprise people and be close while also still building it up. Philly needs to take the Miami approach to this.
The funny thing, too, is they had the 6th overall pick. Like, they were right. If you wanted a quarterback, you could have just stayed. So now you're going to trade. You got a future first to trade back to 12, which I thought was a good move because they have a lot of needs that they need to address. And it didn't feel like they were going to take a quarterback. So you can get a great player at number 12 because of the number of quarterbacks that will go early.
Well, I think, yeah.
So now you're just going to then reflip that future first and move back up to where you were to take a quarterback that you didn't want, now you want. It makes no sense at all.
Well, that Miami trade feels like Miami's getting Chase or Pitts, doesn't it?
It was a smart move from Miami They had all the future first to play with.
Tua a weapon.
Right? And you could get maybe the first or second best player on the board at number 6 overall. So it made sense for them to move up. But if you're Philly, why would you trade down and trade back up? That's just, I don't know. I saw that this weekend and it was kind of a weird storyline. But Jeremy Fowler reports Philly could be considering moving up in the NFL draft. We're talking some NFL notes. Lots going on. There's more controversy brewing in Green Bay. This story just is not going away. There was an unnamed agent, according to Rob Domofsky. Is that how you say his name? I think we've had him on the show
Packer
before.
Reporter,
he's an ESPN reporter. And he said an unnamed agent basically told him that the Packers are refraining from making free agent moves until something is done with Aaron Rodgers' contract. He said, quote, "They've called me about one of my players and said, hey, this is where we are now, and until we get something big done, hint, hint, we don't have any space." They could have easily created cap space, it should be noted, if they would have taken the base salary, which is like $14 million. You could have turned it into a signing bonus.
Yeah.
Just giving him the money up front, it would have opened up cap space for him. They didn't do that. They also haven't restructured his contract like we've seen basically almost every other prominent quarterback get a restructured deal, which, again, the players love because it's just cash up front. You turn stuff into signing bonuses. You give them a big – here's $20 million. I mean, they're just getting it now instead of getting it later. So the players have no issue with it whatsoever, and it frees up space to spend money. And really, when you look at his cap hit the last couple of years, it hasn't been that outrageous, yet the Packers don't spend money. So I'm not quite sure where this is coming from, but there seems to be – an ongoing feud that is not going away since the end of the NFC title game between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, this smells like a team getting an agent to talk and trying to be on their side when in reality, as you mentioned, they don't spend. Just from 2011 to 2017, I saw this from Warren Sharp, the top spenders are the Jaguars at $835 million. Bucks, Bears follow. That's an average of $437 million. The Bengals, 30th. Steelers, 31st. And the Packers, 32nd. The average is $437 million spent in that year, or in that 7-year window, and the Packers have spent $181 million. This is...
They don't spend money, man. It's nuts.
Do you ever wonder... It's cool to say, but do you wonder if the ownership thing hurts them? Historically, they've been great. They're one of the iconic sports brands. They've had so much success with Favre and Rodgers, so maybe it's a ludicrous thing to wonder. But you don't have a real owner. You got like a CEO, a GM type deal, and then you got like the fans say they're the owners. They don't spend money. They're just not an appealing franchise in that regard. And by the way, the Aaron Rodgers thing is laughable. His cap hit in 2021 was $21.6 million. They spent $16.5 million. They have nobody to blame for where they're at in free agency but themselves. They're cheap.
I don't know if there's a team that it would be more frustrating to be a fan of right now than the Green Bay Packers.
They should be going all in. They should be pushing the limits financially on what they should be doing.
Everything possible.
What the Chiefs do, where every time the Chiefs sign a player, everybody tweets, they had money? Or the Rams, how do they have all this money?
Right.
They should be that team with Aaron Rodgers as the MVP, and yet here we are drafting a quarterback in the first round that they didn't even want to suit up. And not going out and spending big money on any players.
Yeah, it's just I would be incredibly angry because you let one of the best centers in the league walk when you could have afforded to bring him back. He ended up going to the Chargers, so I love that for Herbert. So you lose one of the best centers in the NFL, a guy who was a value pick in a later round. You had good depth at running back. As much as I love Aaron Jones, I think he's a stud and he's a great fit in that offense.
You overpaid for him.
Right, you overpaid for him. And you didn't, I mean, you have good backup running backs. They had great depth at that position. So there was better places, I thought, at least to spend your money. And then you mentioned the biggest one that everybody, ourselves included, pointed out when it happened. Why would you get a quarterback at the end of the first round when you still have Aaron Rodgers in the prime of his career? You were just in the NFC Championship game and you're maybe one piece away, and yet you're still not going out and getting that one piece, which is likely another weapon who, guess what, you could have probably drafted at the end of the first round instead of Jordan Love. This has led a lot of folks to believe, and again, this, I mean, it's all speculation. It's a beautiful part of the NFL this time of year. But so the negative side, they could have restructured his contract or turned his base salary into a signing bonus that would have created more cap space for them to go out and spend, kind of have an all-in offseason. They didn't do that. And some people are wondering, so if you do that, what it does is it does hike up his cap hit going into 2022, which would then make him more tough to trade next offseason, because I think he's got two more years left on his deal. Mm. So people are now speculating and trying to draw lines between the dots of saying, well, they didn't do it. That means, are they already eyeballing an exit after this season? Because you're going to be going in at that point to year three of Jordan Love, who was a first-round pick. Are you just going to sit a first-round pick on the bench for 4 years?
I know. It's like, one of the bigger things looming.
Are you going to trade Jordan Love, a guy who you just spent a first-round pick on? Like, you kind of, you almost put yourself between a rock and a hard place where you got to commit to the guy that you spent a first-round pick on, but your quarterback is an MVP. It's a really weird situation.
Well, and he's been asked about this. He's done multiple interviews now. He just hosted Jeopardy for the week, which, by the way, I think we should be asking Jason Swigart how we thought he did.
I think he got good reviews from everything I read. It sounded like he did good.
Based on everybody else that's had a tryout, like Dr. Oz probably was the lowest rated one because he's not a doctor.
Yeah.
Ken Jennings is maybe the favorite to land it because he's such a big name with that brand.
Yeah, he's a little too smug for my taste.
Ken
and
Jennings
I know
is
smug.
Because you are?
Yes.
No, but, you know, he did the Jeopardy thing. So he did interviews and
I wasn't sold.
You didn't like Rodgers.
He was a little too bland. I needed a little bit more personality. I'm sure he was nervous as all get out. He didn't want to mess up.
It's a tryout situation in a way, right? So it's like, how hard do you go with the tryout?
I needed a little more personality.
We may have to play a fun game this week where you ask us two or three questions Jeopardy style to get your tryout.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We need the Swigart tryout.
That's always been his dream. And you can ask us real questions, too, like the province of this country.
All right.
Not getting that right.
What is Soho?
Should we do a math category? I think that would be entertaining.
No.
They don't do that to the contestants.
No, you're just
going to
let the clock run out. You're going to get a buzzer. I'm not buzzing in
for
that one.
Go ancient philosophy and let us guess.
Yeah, he's going to host
somebody.
Medieval Flemish painting for 200.
Right. Who is Michelangelo? But he was doing interviews and doing the rounds to promote the show, and he basically said, look, I don't know what the restructure is. There's many that think he's purposely making this tough on them because he wants to get out of Green Bay. But I think that's an agent thing, man. I think the agent knows his value. He probably says, hey, we're doing this and that. And he says, okay, great. Keep me notified. Yeah. I think he's cool being a Packer quarterback. I think he's comfortable to leave. I look at Green Bay here. You S'd the bed with that Jordan Love pick. And
totally
I don't know where they go in 2 years.
Chase Claypool could have been a Packer.
But if you go into year three and he's still your starting quarterback and Love is barely the backup, those are grounds for termination in that window of championship-type football, and they have nobody to blame but themselves for that.
Hence
so.
Why they might move on from Rodgers, just to try and admit to themselves, whether they believe it or not, that you have to make that first-round pick pay off.
Is there any sports equivalent in our lives that you can think of that had back-to-back quarterbacks of Favre Rodgers levels and all they got were two championships out of almost a 25-year run?
The Niners had Montana Young. You got five. I mean, Peyton and Luck, I guess.
Yeah, but Luck's window was so small. He retired
at 30. It was a shorter window, but that's
the
only one I compare. You had two great elite quarterbacks, and you only won one Super Bowl out of the deal.
Yeah.
So that's the only other one that I can think of. But this run has gone on a lot longer, far of all the way to Rodgers
and
now.
And you take two, but you still would have thought with those two guys at the helm, you would have had three or four.
At least. So there you go. There's some NFL notes we wanted to get to. A couple odds and ends, including is something that a team does considered – is it still cool? Do we like that they do it? And then a couple other notes from the weekend that we haven't got to yet. Back after this on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, we heard from some Packer fans at the text line. They're not happy. We even had a...
At us or the
no,
fact that
just
their team
the
is...
state of the organization. We had the owner of the Packers, too, Keith in a garbage truck. He texted in, diehard Packer fan and owner. Now, hey. Having an owner has its pluses and minuses. More minuses than pluses, though.
The beauty of being an owner of a team like the Packers is...
Dude, I would use that all the time.
It's somebody else's responsibility to keep the team good. Why are they failing them?
I use that all the time. So, yeah, as a Packer fan, they... You know what, up since the Super Bowl, not putting any emphasis on defense, assuming Rodgers would make up for it, and then they blame him when he doesn't have the ball in the playoffs because the team's running score on him. I don't blame him for asking for a trade. They needed to win the Super Bowl last year. He's gone after this year.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way, doesn't it, that this is the year where...
Wouldn't it be crazy if him and Russell Wilson end up on the like both teams? Because neither one's going to get traded this offseason. We've said that all along. But next year, it does become a realistic possibility. Can you imagine both those guys being on the move next offseason?
It wouldn't be the most insane thing to me if Jordan Love sucks again, if the Niners fail with Jimmy G and Mac Jones
all
sucks,
in on Rodgers,
and they trade Mac Jones and two futures for Aaron Rodgers to save their jobs.
It'd be pretty damn cool. The team that should have drafted him when he came out of college, they missed on that one. Want to get to a couple of notes here. Is this cool that they do this? So this is, I'm reminded of it from time to time, but then you forget about it because it doesn't happen all the time. There was a player who made a debut for a new baseball team this weekend, and nobody could recognize him, including his daughter. And that player was, for those who follow, I know you guys were all over the trade. Rougned Odor is now a member of the New York Yankees. I'm sure you're all over that deal.
I mean, I haven't heard from him since he punched what's-his-face in the face with a clean right hook. That was one of the better sports punches we've ever had.
One of the best punches we've ever seen. So he was a member of the Rangers. He failed to make the roster out of spring training. The Yankees, I don't know, they needed an infielder, I guess, so they traded for him. And he passed all the COVID-19 protocols, and he was activated, and he made his debut this weekend. But for those who know about Rougned Odor, know that he has been growing out a beard for years. Like, he has like a nipple long beard. It was a long James Harden kind of beard. He's always had it. It's kind of his calling card when you see him. He's got that long beard. Well, the Yankees still have their policy that you can't have facial hair when you play for them. And so Odor talked after playing his first game, and he said that his daughter won't even look at him anymore.
Because he shaved that beard.
And he does, like, you see a picture of him, I could not point that guy out of a lineup to save my life. But him with the beard, you see him, you're like, it's Rougned Odor. If you watch baseball, you know who he is. Is that cool that they still do that? They've been doing it since 1973. You're not allowed to have facial hair, only a mustache.
I think it's stupid.
Right? What are we doing here? It's 2021. You can't have a beard.
Never really understood why Steinbrenner hated that so much and why that was a real policy. But, you know, RIP George Steinbrenner for that belief. I don't know why they're still doing that either. Is Hank Steinbrenner really committed to the no facial hair thing? I'm to the point where...
That's so dumb.
Almost everybody in my life... has a beard.
Right.
And I'm the odd, because I can't grow a beard. I just didn't fully hit puberty, I guess, and the genetics only went so far for me. I get a couple, like, ugly jawline pubes on my neck, and that's about it. But I'm so accustomed to everybody else in my life having a beard that I'd be the opposite. I would be similar to his daughter. I wouldn't recognize people. Like, if you came in with a clean shaved face,
I'd look like I was 12, man.
Like, when was the last time you shaved your entire face?
I mean, I trim it down, but I don't go all the way because I can't. I got kind of a doughy baby face. So if I have no facial hair, it's not a good look for me, man. I got to have some scruff.
My brother-in-law, for years now, he's had like a James Harden type beard.
Yeah.
Thick, not too long, bushy. There is an app on Snapchat or something that my sister-in-law used on him where it can take your face and it can just scrub off your facial hair
and what your face would look like,
and it was frightening.
Yeah,
because he always admittedly says he has the beard because it protects the double chin look.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Which for us non-beard bros, we got to be careful of our angles.
Yeah, you got to lift that chin up.
He looked like Rosie O'Donnell. They threw me off. I'm like, who is this guy?
I don't even recognize this person, man.
So I think there's quite a few people in my life that if they shaved their face, I don't think I'd recognize them. It would be really weird.
It'd be weird, man. It would be weird. I can't believe that they still do this. I had forgotten about it, but like Johnny Damon was a famous one. Remember when he went from Boston and he looked like Jesus to playing for the Yankees and he was all clean shaven? Like since 19, you're not better than everybody in New York. Let him have facial hair. It's just so dumb. Why are mustaches okay but beards aren't? Explain that one to me.
Well,
what's going on here? The mustache is fun. You could have a big, thick, burly mustache, but you can't have anything under your lip.
George was famous for mustache rides.
He's just so Who knows? Dumb, man.
I don't know. I will say Swigart throws me off the most because he always has like a natural, you know, a little kind of rough or he grows out in some form. When he shaves his face clean, it throws me off every time, especially with long hair. Like I have to almost do a double take when I'm looking at him.
Whoa, what's going on there?
Because I'm like, oh, it's the professor that's going to go sleep with somebody's girlfriend in college. It's that kind of energy.
It is that kind of
And it's not
energy,
a bad thing, Swigart.
That's good energy to have. I'm not going to lie.
It's great energy. Sure. Professor Swigart with his PhD.
So I saw that over the weekend. I wanted to bring it up. Also, something happened in sports that we have not talked about yet that I'm ashamed of both of you for missing out on. This should have been the lead story of the day. Especially you, Swigart. I'm upset with you on this one. Something happened this weekend that has not happened in 30 years. Do you know what I'm talking about?
30 years.
Has not happened in 30 years.
You're going to say it.
Only happened 4 times on television in the history of the sport and has not taken place in 30 years.
The Walking Dead had a cliffhanger finale.
No, it's sports related, man. Okay. It's sports. The Ginger Assassin. I know you guys are all big fans of the Ginger Assassin, of course.
Is that a real nickname?
The Ginger Assassin, Anthony Neuer. Finished off a 7-10 split in a bowling event on FS1. It's the first time it's happened in 30 years, and neither of you brought it up. And his name is the Ginger Assassin.
I did not have bowling on.
He's wearing an American shirt. Rob Stone was on the call. It was glorious, and you guys totally missed it.
So how many times has a 7-10 split happened?
This article that I'm reading claims it has only happened 4 times when the sport's been on a televised match. Which is kind of a weird way to put it, but it has not happened. It's the first time it's happened in 30 years.
Wouldn't you have guessed that's happening every year in bowling with professionals?
Well, it happens, yes, but in the televised TV finals.
The big matches.
They choke on the 7-10 split?
Well, one, they don't
happen. The Ginger Assassin. How do you guys not follow the Ginger Assassin?
They don't happen a lot with the pros because they're striking all the time. So very rarely do you get a 7-10 split.
Yeah.
I 7-10 split all the time.
You big 7-10 split guy?
Yeah, dude.
Is that easy to execute?
But you're not carrying a 232 average, so.
You're right. I'm more like a 242.
Yeah.
Then you'd be on the
Ginger
on the
Assassin's
PBA
got nothing
no, they
on
don't,
you.
They don't pay enough.
You could take down the Ginger Assassin.
I don't look good in a bowling shirt. I'm too pasty.
This guy, his Anthony Neuer is his name, and you learn immediately on the call that he is the Ginger Assassin, and he's got the hair for the nickname. And his bowling shirt is just a bunch of American flags, and it's got a hammer across the front.
Where does the 7-10 split rank in sports things that are almost impossible for the average Joe to do?
For the average person to pull off.
In
it's
fact,
up there.
I would say the 7-10 split is listed as impossible because what's the statistics say?
What's the chances for a non-bowler to even hit one of the pins, let alone both?
Yeah. Oh, every once in a while. I mean, I remember in the old bowling league, every once in a while somebody would get one. It was usually a bit more fluky than...
Oh, luck.
Where
right?
did you see it, though?
At my league.
A bowling league. Those are not... I'm talking about Dirt and Spray guys who aren't in a bowling league.
Not a bowler. If you took me out there, I would whiff both pins. I'd probably send it right down the middle when I couldn't do it when all the pins are there. But I would whiff both of them. I wouldn't stand a chance in hell.
I'd rather try to get out of a 9-foot-tall sand trap on a golf course than hit a 7-10 split.
Yeah, at least you can close your eyes and swing. And maybe
swing as hard as you can.
Right.
And
maybe it gets out of there.
Get out of there.
A little disappointing, you guys, man. The Ginger Assassin had a great weekend. Neither of you brought it up. I figured it'd be in SportsCenter updates all day. First 7-10 split in 30 years. But nope, guess we're not talking about those today. All right, let's get back in. Some lingering thoughts on the Masters, including another poor performance from one player who's already backed out of a future tournament. And Hideki Matsuyama. I'm gonna win it. What does it mean? We'll get back into that coming up next. Well, you win the Masters, you figure you're gonna be swept off in a private jet, living the large life. Hideki Matsuyama won this weekend. He took home his final pool money was just over $2 million.
I would have thought it got into the threes at this point.
Yeah,
right.
I think there's, I mean, there's obviously other tournaments with bigger pools, but
I think the only ones are the Players.
Players is, yeah, huge.
And maybe the British Open, but I'm not certain.
And obviously the FedEx Cup at the end of the year.
Well, that's a different
sure.
deal.
That's not a tournament. It's a year-long thing.
Plus,
but you
that's
take
an
a huge
annuity,
check.
Too. I don't think you get a...
Oh, really? Is it?
Yeah, I think it's an annuity. At least when it first started, it was an annuity.
Okay.
What's the next major?
The PGA Championship next week, or next month, excuse
next
me.
Next month gotcha. At Kiawah Island in South Carolina.
Kiawah Island. The odds are already coming out. Jordan Spieth, one of the favorites, because he's a scramble guy, and it's really windy down there.
And the media loves him.
He does, and maybe it's a place that Rory can turn around, because he won a PGA Championship there years and years and years ago.
I don't know why I don't like him. I actually liked some of the part, like, you know what he does that I relate to is when he hits a bad shot, I was like, Jordan, what are you doing? Yeah,
he talks to his golf ball on every shot, and I love that.
I do the same thing.
I love guys that will be honest, but not in a arrogant, like, losing your ass every single shot kind of way.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Billy Horschel's too much for me, and he had to apologize. He just, I can't stand Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
But I think that immediate frustration of, like, where is that going? Get down. You're just yelling at the ball. We all do that every time you hit.
Did it about 8 times yesterday on the green.
Totally
Sprager, what are we doing on the putt, buddy?
What are we doing? Why aren't we thinking here?
There's
okay.
There's a break there, or you got to get up the hill.
Right? Well, I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures. So you imagine, right, you win the Masters. That's a pretty big deal. Hideki was spotted at the Atlanta airport this morning. Mm-hmm. Just basically walking through, carrying the green jacket, getting on a coach flight to Chicago.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Would you wear the green jacket through the airport?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I don't know. I think I would want it tucked away and sealed so nothing happened to it.
Oh, you
like
care
like you don't
too much.
Spill anything on it?
Bring it on.
You want to like spill like a airline Pepsi on your Masters jacket?
That's be a what, great story.
That's what dry cleaning's for.
Or I just put it in a frame when I eventually get it to my house. And there's always a Pepsi stain on my shoulder. And someone goes, what happened to the jacket?
Yeah.
Pepsi at the airport
the
next morning.
I believe, isn't it the reigning Masters champion is the only one who can wear the green jacket off premises?
Yes, I believe that's you can wear it when you come back for the Masters dinner and all that stuff when you're
but
around.
Even but even then, you can only put it on premise. It's like in your locker in the champion's, you know,
it's there for you
room.
For next year when
but
you get
I
back.
But I think the only person that's allowed to wear it off premises, maybe the chairman is if he's doing a public relations something or other.
Yeah.
But I think it's only the reigning Masters champion that's allowed to wear it off premises.
They're so hoity-toity.
I think I would fight back on that. If I won the Masters, I would totally fight back on that.
Such a prestigious.
Just walk around in that thing naked all over the house. Like, give me a break. I won the Masters.
You
I'm
can, as the reigning Masters champion.
No, I know. I'm doing that forever. I'm not just doing it for 1 year.
Yeah,
come on
what
now.
A stupid
this isn't
rule.
A Stanley Cup. I'm not only celebrating for 1 day.
What are we doing? It's not 1915 anymore. Do these guys know it's 2021?
I saw that though.
That's
I saw
a good
that
question.
What happened?
Well, yeah, that is a great question.
I saw the Tiger doc. I get it.
It is Augusta.
What? I just don't follow golf. I get it. It's a gentleman's game.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
But it's so douchey sometimes. It can't get out of its own. It's like baseball. Like I want to love it a little more, but sometimes it just can't get out of its own way.
Baseball's beating me down on the DH. It's just beating me down on the DH.
Yeah, you've accepted it. You're accepting
it. Yeah, I'm there
it.
Too. I used to put up a fight on that, and I'm over it now.
I wish that
this runner on second next running, so I'm never backing down.
That has been an awful,
never backing down on
awful
that.
Decision.
It's fine in the minor leagues because
sure, whatever.
They travel
nobody
by
cares.
Bus. You're trying to hurry up and get games over. That I get, but not in the major leagues.
Yeah, it's stupid. I hate it and can't stand it. I will never back down on that. But I did. I thought that was pretty funny. There's a picture of Hideki just sitting in your normal, you're just hanging around. He's sitting on one chair looking on his phone, and the Masters jacket's draped over another chair next to him.
I would hope whatever airline is he's flying would recognize who he is and what just happened and at least, you know, bump him to first class.
Right. I mean, somebody said he was going through a normal flight. I don't know if the coach thing was a joke or not, but I would hope after you won
$2 million. I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was from, but I think, he's connecting from Chicago to Tokyo.
Yeah, he's flying back to Tokyo.
God, that's a long flight.
Can
Chicago?
He get some business class?
Yeah,
you know?
We upgrade a little bit here?
You don't think his Srixon was like, dude, you put us on the map for 4 days. By the way, Team Srixon all the way.
Srixon.
Underrated golf brand.
The brand of driver I've ordered.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm a top flight boy, and a Srixon man.
Look at you.
Anytime you give me a Srixon ball or a top flight ball, I'm excited.
Throw a couple of patches on your golf bag. You're ready to go. Let's get these sponsors exemptions out there. I did want to bring up one guy, not because I don't like him and it's fun to make fun of him, but just because there was a large conversation about the state of the game and where it's going, and he is quite often at the center of it. The Doucher had another bad weekend, so he came out with a 76 on Thursday. He was 567 on Friday, made the cut, which didn't look like it was going to happen on Thursday. And then he was 6 over on the weekend. He finished 5 over for the tournament. We have so many conversations about him and how he's changing the game. He's already opted out of this upcoming weekend's tournament.
The RBC Heritage.
People are drawn, you know, probably that range session. I can't imagine your back feels very good about that. But I do think there's questions about the longevity and the health that comes with it. But all of the statements about changes of the game and the equipment, all that stuff, your champion ended up being 10 under par, and Hideki doesn't hit the ball very far at all. He has some drives that go below 300 yards. He is a prolific iron player, and the guy that can hit the ball a mile and a half was 5 over, and again, not in contention at Augusta. So are we overreacting? Am I overreacting to Bryson not playing well at Augusta?
No, I just don't think it's a good course for his style.
No.
You got to hit straight fairway shots. You got to be great with your putter. And he's a power bro who can't always control the power. I mean, you saw it with Zalatoris, right? Like, he's a guy who gets a lot of yardage because he knows how to swing. He's an analytically driven younger player. And he's perfect with his iron play, his driver play. Bryson's not. You know, Bryson beefed up, went for distance, and he can't always control it. I think it's one of the worst courses
DeChambeau's
to be out of control.
Right now, has no idea of his distances with his shorter club. Well, they're not shorter, with his higher lofted clubs.
Sure.
I think the concern that golf has over distance is more about guys like Will Zalatoris. But hopefully you will start to see courses set themselves up for championship play in a similar fashion. You can narrow fairways. You can have thicker rough. You can have
dry out those greens.
Dry out those greens. Put all those pins on the edges. That sort of thing. So there are ways to make it. And if you start doing that and have some risk reward holes, some shorter par fours. So if guys do want to hit it 350, they can try and stripe it, but then if, you know, there's water or bunkers or hazard areas or whatever, it's a risk reward, then I think you can find a way to let those longer players try and use that length to the advantage, but it's not just a given advantage.
Yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to bring up because there was such a reaction to him winning the U.S. Open last year that this is going to dominate golf, and how is anybody ever going to stop him? And then you had Colin Morikawa win the PGA Championship, who's not a long hitter, great iron player. Hideki Matsuyama, great iron player, not a long hitter, not even a great putter. Both of them had good weekends putting when they won their majors. But I find it interesting that there's this trend of we got to do everything we can to bring back the distance, and you got guys who don't hit the ball very far winning majors right now.
Well, I do think, and they noted this on the broadcast, Bryson did get into Rory's head. And
he totally
has admitted this, that like, hey, maybe I should be going for more distance. And he's kind of gotten away from what he was.
He screwed up his swing.
And yeah, unfortunately for Rory, and I jokingly said, like, is he the most overrated? At this point, it's hard not to say it based on like where he always trends in the betting criteria. But yeah, I mean, say what you want about Bryson. I still think he's great. I do enjoy when he's good and when he's bad. But he impacted the tour pretty heavily. And having a guy like Rory admit that it messed with his head was interesting, but it was also, I got a kick out of him sucking this weekend.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him suck, at least in my book, and it's nice to see somebody
much.
It's nice to see somebody who doesn't hit the ball a mile and a half win major championships, and that was really cool about Hideki. Iron play got the job done, and he took home $2 million, a green jacket that he's wearing on a coach flight back to Tokyo today.
Well, and Zalatoris hitting the way he did, man. That kid, they say he's 165.
He's a buck 42, man. Yeah, that kid's dripping wet. He can't even get to 150. All right, what's on tap? There's a lot going on in the sports world, and we'll find out next as we close it up on a Monday on The Fan.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
That's right. What's on tap? Brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Before we get to what's on tap, we do need to ask, what the hell's wrong with you, NHL? So there's two things going on that should be addressed. Today is, by the way, what's on tap? It is the trade deadline day in the NHL.
It is? You're all over that, I'm sure.
Yeah, NHL trade deadline.
Big trade deadline day.
Is Rizanowski going to be on the move?
He could be. Could be moved, yeah.
Taylor Hall on the move.
Yeah, he got traded.
That's a big move.
So they have Hockey Night in Canada, big deal, right? We all know that.
Yes.
In Canada, yes.
Saturday night, they made Edmonton and Calgary play the Battle of Alberta. Well, there's only one issue here. It's a sad story, but there was a player that was part of the Oilers organization who passed away last year. Colby Cave was his name. For those who don't remember, he died unexpectedly. He's 25 years old. He had a brain hemorrhage, and he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really sad story. His funeral was on Saturday. And the players, obviously, were very... I mean, this is an emotional day. You're going through one of your teammates to pass away, all that stuff, right? The NHL had to move a game to Saturday night because they needed a second half of their doubleheader because Swigart's Canucks all have the Rona and they have it really bad and they might not play again for God knows how long. So Vancouver was supposed to be part of that game. They had to switch up the whole schedule. So Edmonton was supposed to have the day off. That's why they scheduled the funeral on Saturday. Well, then the NHL was so preoccupied with the ratings of the second half for their Hockey Night in Canada doubleheader that they then moved Edmonton's game to Saturday. Edmonton got blown out because they obviously weren't in it and they spent the afternoon at a funeral for their teammate. And you saw almost everybody who's a part of the Oilers organization come out and just dump all over the league. Like, really? What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? The other thing that's going on, too, is that with the Canucks not playing, because health and safety is of the utmost importance, right? They're considering making them, by the time they get back, play 19 games in 31 days. God. Things are going well in the NHL. There's your NHL update.
Supposedly, they're supposed to crank it up this Saturday or Friday.
Have you guys enjoyed the season?
I mean, I have. It's nice to have. I haven't watched as much as I normally do just because there's been so much else going on. But you got a team that's coming off COVID, and you're going to make them ratchet up and play 19 games in 31 days. That's just a bad look. You make a team play on the day of a funeral.
I guess some of them. I haven't read too much to see if indicated who got it bad.
A good number of players
that had serious symptoms and side effects from it. So we'll see what sort of shape they're in, too.
Yeah, have fun with that. And then playing 19 games in 31 days. So there's a hockey update. I just wanted to get to that. Making a team play on the day of a funeral of a teammate. It's just Bush League. And shouldn't expect more from Gary Bettman. But, dear God, be better than that. Okay, what's on tap? We got a doubleheader in the NBA. Let me pique your interest, see where we're at on this one. Philly and Dallas, 4:30 on ESPN. Is that doing anything for us? Move the needle? Philly in Dallas. Philly favored by 2.5, taking on the Mavs. The Mavs, by the way, let me pull it up just so I know officially. What are they, a half game behind you now?
Game and a half.
Okay.
Because they choked against the Spurs last night.
Yeah, they did.
And Philly owns the best record, or at least tied for it, over Brooklyn. They own the tiebreaker.
I think the only passing interest is, are the Mavs going to put some serious heat on the Blazers for the sixth spot? Because the seventh spot, you're in the play-in. You're in the first round of the playoffs.
Likely going to take on Golden State, whoever ends up being the seventh seed, who might be without James Wiseman for the rest of the year.
Yeah, torn meniscus. It's weird. You don't see a torn meniscus come back within 2 weeks, and they won't officially say he's out for the year.
Yeah.
That's almost always like a pretty done injury for the season and their timeline.
A couple weeks.
Undetermined.
TBD.
Yeah, TBD. I think you just do what you can. I almost wonder, are you better served? This is going to sound dumb. Are you better served for the play-in scenario versus playing Denver, Lakers, or Clippers in round one? Do your play-in game, win it, get Utah, Phoenix. Are you better served than facing those other three teams in the 3-4-5?
I right now don't have faith that locked to win a play-in.
I get you. I'm with you 100%. I'm not suggesting they would win. But if we're to look at the pathway of how do you go the furthest in the playoff run?
I currently believe there is no pathway.
Okay, sure. Thanks for playing this game, you jackasses.
The only way I say is if you have some faith that Phoenix not having been in the playoffs for the last few years could serve you with an experience factor to take advantage of.
It could, but you also have like Chris Paul and Jay Crowder on that roster.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a balancing act there. Booker and Ayton and those guys, they've never been there. That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, I would rather play Phoenix or Utah just because they're unknowns in the postseason, and Utah hasn't proven it when it matters most.
I mean, if the Lakers are all healthy, I don't want any piece of that.
No, they're going to be in the NBA Finals again if they're completely healthy come playoff time. But, yeah, that's the only reason to keep an eye on that one if you want to avoid that play-in situation. Dallas is right on your heels. They take on Philly at 4:30, and then the nightcap is Denver-Golden State, so knock your socks off on that one. In Golden State, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Over in the baseball world, the Mariners start a series in Baltimore. The Mariners are above 500. How about that? Look at them, 5-4. Catch the fever.
Yeah, how about them in Boston? Boston sucked, and now they're going for 7 straight.
Look at that. Your Braves, 4-5 on the year. They're at home against the Marlins today. Should be able to get a win against Miami.
Should
right?
be 5-4.
Should be 5-4.
Yes, they should.
Well, at least, you know, gone to extra innings or Dodgers deeper in the bottom of the ninth.
They got hosed.
Yeah, they got
totally hosed. And don't look now, my Giants are 6-3. Swept the Rockies over the weekend.
I say this biasedly. Sweetest unis in baseball when they wear
those
throwback 70s
ones. Those are so fantastic.
Good. God, so good. I need to just buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, they need to wear those more often. There's no doubt about that. There you go. Good little show. If you missed any of it, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday. Colin coming up next. AJ and Dusty doing it 3. Primetime Isaac and Soup. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.